Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast. As with the Lord's help, we will conclude the message I've been sharing these past weeks on afflictions, and most recently looking at God's ultimate purpose in trials. That's what we were doing last week. And just a brief summary to refresh our memory, that God has purposes in our trials. And I shared three reasons that God brings trials, allows trials in our lives, and that is that we can understand the will of God. Psalm 119:71 says, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Also, we know that afflictions are used of the Lord in trying our faith and obedience. Classic example would be Abraham when he was called on to sacrifice his son Isaac. And then also, afflictions are made beneficial in testing and exhibiting our sincerity. Job 23:10 says, "He knoweth the way that I take. When you've tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So the Lord uses afflictions in the lives of His people, not only to prove their faith, their obedience, and sincerity, but also to examine their hearts before Him. God is desiring a love relationship. And in order to understand what He does, how He deals with us, we've turned to the book of Job, which deals with answers for questions concerning the reason why we suffer and why a loving God allows it. Why do the righteous suffer if God is a God of love and mercy? And then going to the first chapter, we know Satan challenged the Lord, and actually Job too, because he attacked Job's motivation, suggesting that he served God, reverenced and served Him because of his blessings that he received. And then there was also a subtle attack on God's providence, that basically, God, you're trying to buy love and loyalty just by blessing. And so we see that Satan was permitted to test Job by inflicting the loss of children and property, then physical affliction. And so as he sits in misery, friends come to comfort him, three friends, and there's a long debate through most of the book. And a younger man, Elihu by name, has been listening, and he enters the conversation in chapters 32 to 37 because he feels Job's friends have failed him. And also, he's denouncing Job's reaction to his plight. So what does Elihu do? He says that Job has charged God with capriciousness, with being arbitrary. And he says in 33:8-10, "Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy word, saying, I am clean, without transgression, I'm innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me, he counteth me for his enemy." And Elihu is dissatisfied with Job's contention that God deals capriciously with men in this life. Also, Elihu mentioned injustice. Job says, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. And then finally, he accuses Job of rebellion. Chapter 34, verses 36 through 37, because his response is to Job, "Would that Job's affliction be continued, and he be tried to the end because of his answering like wicked men. For he adds rebellion to his unsubmissive attitude toward God, to his unacknowledged sin, he claps his hand in open mockery and multiplies his words of accusation against God. So, let me now share, as we wrap this up, Job, the 36th chapter, verse 21. This is the amplified version of that verse. Take heed, Elihu was saying, turn not to iniquity, for this, parens, the iniquity of complaining against God, you have chosen rather than submission in affliction. Elihu is accusing Job of rebelling rather than submitting to his affliction in meekness. Verse 18 says, don't let the greatness of your afflictions keep you from accepting them. So, proceeds further? Well, Elihu begins to extol the greatness and the providence of God, urging Job to recognize God has a purpose. There is a God's purpose in the sufferings he's going through, and to join with others in exalting the Lord. He argues that man, in his finite state, must not and cannot lean on his own intelligence, but rather upon the fear of God. And he declares that suffering is often the means of purifying the righteous. The substance, basically, of his entire argument is that God did permit God's sufferings in order to achieve beneficial results, in his life and faith. So, what were the purpose of Job's suffering? Well, first of all, remember that first chapter where Satan came before the Lord to bring up the fact of Job just serving God because he was blessed. It was first designed to uphold God's glory before the cynicism of Satan. Job passed the test. It's like, that's really what was going on. I mean, yes, Job, there was a work God was doing in Job, but the real issue was that God's glory was upheld. Hallelujah. That no matter what we go through, nonetheless, we will still love and serve God. And then, secondly, God permitted the trial to continue for the purpose of perfecting his sanctification, that Job might be conformed more to the image of his Maker. In chapter 38 through 9, the Lord speaks. He answers Job out of the whirlwind with words of reproof and enlightenment. He recounts the marvels of his inanimate and animal world, his mighty power. So God's purpose, therefore, was to strip away all of Job's self-righteousness and bring him into a place of complete trust in him. And beloved, this is the great lesson of the book. If we know God, we don't need to know why he allows us to experience what we do. Of course, we may not understand. Of course, we may question. But God is not only in control of the universe, but also of our lives. And he loves you, beloved. He loves all of us. He loves his children. And of course, because his ways aren't our ways, his thoughts aren't our thoughts, his ways are sometimes beyond our comprehension. But the main point is that we should not criticize him for his dealings with us or with others. We can't judge what were the reasons for what they're going through. God is always in control, even when he appears not to be. Why can't we judge others? Because we'd be like Job's comforter. Obviously, there's something wrong in their life. And yes, we have authority over the devil. But beloved, this book is especially relevant to the sold-out Christian. We have our external behavior following the commandments of God's word, but what about our hearts? God desires a relationship where we will understand and appreciate his nature. It teaches the sovereignty of God and the need for man to acknowledge that he is, in fact, the sovereign Lord. And if we learn that lesson, beloved, God will bless us. God is in control. Have you ever murmured or complained against God? I believe we all have, especially as we go through prolonged trials or afflictions. I know in my life for a period of time, it was actually several years, there was great suffering. There was great hurt and sorrow and a lack of understanding. And so it's important, beloved, that if you're going through something really rigorous right now, that you understand this. God is a good God. In fact, let me pray right now. Father, there are those who are going through some extremely difficult times, whether it's in their own person, their own emotions, their physical body, whatever it might be, or for loved ones that they're some beside themselves because of what is happening in their lives. It's a tremendous burden. And it's an affliction in a sense because, Lord, they're still pressured by it. And I'm asking, God, you to lift the burden. Lord, give understanding when you so desire. But if not, Father, let them have a peace and let them trust you that your purposes are involved. Praise God. Amen. And let me just share in closing, I know I've shared a lot in this series, but I pray you've been blessed and understand a little more clearly what God is doing in your life. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, the word of God says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." That's the point of trials. We become perfect through the afflictions we go through. We learn lessons. Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. Amen. And he was perfect and without sin. But in his human nature, he became perfect. And Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the whole conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Praise God. Well, I pray you've been blessed. My time has gone and we must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, as always, I invite you to write and share your prayer requests. I alone read and answer the mail. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you, pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.